Okay, welcome back. I got a little long break there. Looks like we're going to finish the book of Romans in this chapter. I guess I should have had some extra material prepared to fill out the rest of the program. Perhaps something will come up and I'll be able to pull something off the cuff here. Anyway, we're at the very last chapter of Romans, chapter 16. And where Paul is giving instructions for all his salutations and everyone that he wants them to make sure they greet and mention. He says, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." I really don't know what Paul is referring to here. I'll tell you what, I'd like to see Satan bruised under my feet. And under the feet of those of us today that are laboring hard in his kingdom, it seems that there's no rest. I've read there's no rest for the wicked. And, of course, their no rest is eternal. They shall have no rest in eternity. And I'll tell you what, if you're a servant of my God, it seems that there's no rest for the righteous. Because he keeps us very busy, and the enemy is constantly trying to knock us down, take us out, and persecute us, our families, and destroy our livelihoods and our families, attacking our wives and our children by whatever means they can. He's doing every single thing he can to rip us out of God's kingdom. He hates. Our enemy hates righteousness, and he hates anyone that will walk in the kingdom of God, that will walk in obedience to our Heavenly Father. That's what he hates more than anything. So if you're under attack, then know that that you have an enemy that hates you and is trying to destroy you and will do anything he can to pull you out of the kingdom of God. Because basically, he wants you back. That's right. It reminds me of these stupid commercials on TV. They have the girl that's giving up her mop, and the mop keeps sending her love letters and cards and phone calls and flowers and stuff, saying, "I want you back." Well, that ain't the way our enemy works, though. If he can't lure you back through the lust of the flesh and through the pride of life and all of those things that he held you by in the past, if you become free of those by the power and blood of Yahshua, our Messiah, then he's going to try other things. He's going to attack you through your family, through your wife, through your children. And if that don't work, first he'll attack them, and if he can pull them down, he'll try to pull you down by them or destroy your family. And then, if that doesn't work, well, what will he do next if he is able? Well, we see what's going on now, and we see that the tactics of our enemy throughout history, the lengths that he would go to get people to recant their faith or to convert or die. You take your children, and it's becoming fairly blatant today what's going on to destroy your family, to get you to relent. And I would be afraid. It all comes down to one thing. We need to be prepared for a time of severe persecution if things don't turn around, if things continue to escalate in the direction they're going. They're able to hide their persecution now, where in times past the things that were practiced by the Antichrist that came out of the seat of the Antichrist, the Vatican, in the past they would just tie you to a stake and burn you, or they would kill your children, do that in front of you to get you to recant, to save your children, or they might just rape your wife and your children in front of you and then kill them to get you to recant or to punish you. They love the slow torture, with the eventual end being death, to see if they could get you to recant. So it's a light thing. that we suffer today, comparatively speaking, though at the same time it's still an awful and torturous thing to have your children taken away, to have your wife taken away through that kind of pressure, to have your family destroyed where they're trying to get you to recant. Only today it's becoming blatant, as what's happening with the Alamo Church over there in Folk, Arkansas today, where they have the pastor in jail on accusations that are up to 14 years old, that I don't see how they can prove it. There's no DNA evidence. When you juxtapose that with one of their pastors today in the public school, who is now out on bond after admittedly having a credible witness, having raped one of the students at the public school temple over the last 3 years, and it goes on and on all the time. But when it's one of their own pastors, teachers, in their own temple public school system, why, they're out on bond, even though there is absolutely no doubt as to their guilt. Yet you'll find their pedophile pastor teachers from their public school temples out on bond, not in solitary confinement. And what's the difference? They don't need to lock them up because they're not afraid of what they're going to say, because they are guilty. And you don't see them taking the children away that were their victims from the families. You see due concern. You see them getting counseling for those children. And you don't see them going to the parents of all of the other children in that schoolroom or schoolhouse or that temple, public school temple, and going to the families and removing all of their children and putting them in foster care and destroying their families out of great concern, even though there is absolutely no doubt that their pastor teacher did commit sodomy on children. But now you go and you look at the church in Waco, where they had something against the pastor there, and they ended up shooting at these people, and then burnt down and killed all of them, including 17 children, and burned them all to death. And you have the FLIR footage, if you can go and you can rent the video, Waco Terms of Engagement. Won the Academy Award for Best Documentary in the year that it was produced, though it got very little play in the public sphere, in the media. And you can watch that video and you can see the evidence for yourself. You can see them shooting the people that were fleeing, that were trying to escape the burning building. Yes, you can see the government, who said those people set themselves on fire and committed suicide, but you can see them shooting them to death as they flee the building. That's Waco, Terms of Engagement. There's the evidence, and I'm sure that evidence was not permissible in the court. So there you have a wide disparity between the way God's people are treated in this society and the way they treat their own. And that's right, I'm calling their teachers pastors and their public schools temples, because that's what they are. They are temples to humanism. They are temples to the socialist religion, to the humanist religion. And that's what they teach. And so when their teachers, pastors at their temples do the same acts that they only accuse the man of God of, the way they're treated is totally different. They get out on bond. They don't persecute the potential supposed victims and destroy the families. They don't hunt down all of the families and remove all of the children from all of the families that attend that temple. And they should, because the pedophile is still on the loose. In the case of the Alamo Church, they have the alleged pedophile locked up in solitary confinement. So how is he a danger to the families that they have to go in and hunt them down and take all of their children away, when statistics prove that the odds of them getting mistreated, killed, or abused are so much greater in a foster home than in their own home? And all they end up with is the accusation that the parents spanked their children. And so they call that child abuse. And they call it beating, with all the facts to the contrary. So that's what's starting to happen here in America. And if it's not turned around, and I'll have to tell you, I'm afraid for America because of what I see coming. And I see the push is constantly on to rip out the freedoms of this country. And they've had their so-called Patriot Act, which has further eroded the liberty, the God-given liberties that were supposed to be protected by the Constitution. No, the government did not give us liberty, the liberties. The Constitution, they are not constitutional liberties. They are constitutionally protected liberties. Now they're removing all of the protections so they can rob us of our God-given liberties. And so now they're acting it out and playing it out. And they're pushing the envelope continually. And I believe what I'm afraid will happen with the new president, with the new world president, the first president that was born outside of the United States of America. That's a given fact now, though the courts won't allow a challenge on it based on it in the court. They say no one has standing. So regardless of that fact, we have our first alien president of the United States, the first world president. And I believe that during his presidency that it may be allowed that they open up a constitutional convention. And when they open up a constitutional convention, what that means is that now the whole Constitution is up for grabs. And the first thing to go will be those Bill of Rights, those constitutionally protected God-given rights will be gone. And every vestige of the lamb-likeness of the second beast that rose up in the wilderness, for you, those of you who know Revelation very well, you know exactly what I'm saying. I'm going to say it again. Every vestige of the lamb-likeness of the second beast of Revelation that rose up in the wilderness will be wiped out. And that means the protection of your God-given liberties, because that's what the lamb-likeness of the second beast that rose up in the wilderness is referring to. And so it will be a frightening time if they get a constitutional convention. See, they had to erode our liberties up to this point, and they continue to do so. But they've been in check. They've had a bond on them, a band. And they said, let us break the bands asunder. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to break the bands that hold them. And there's a power that holds them back. And it's the power of the law, though it be man's law, written form of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the God-given rights that were protected thereby, will be done away with when they have their constitutional convention. And that is the point where the prophecy says that the lamb-like beast spake as a dragon. Now we know that a beast represents a government, and we know that a government speaks through its laws. Now, the government that was lamb-like spoke through its laws lamb-like principles. I mean, who is the lamb? What else? See, because if we're using Scripture to interpret Scripture, and the Scripture says the beast is lamb-like, well, who is the lamb that the beast should be lamb-like? If it's lamb-like, then who is it like? What is it like? What does lamb-like mean? It can only mean one thing, that it's a beast, and its laws are lamb-like laws. And what is lamb-like about the beast, the second beast that rose up in the wilderness? All men are created equal. That's a lamb-like principle. And to found a government on that principle, I would say that would be lamb-like. Because what does it mean? That all men are created equal. And if we found a government on that principle, that means that no one is better than anyone else. That means, basically, that you have to treat your neighbor the way that you want to be treated. Is that not a lamb-like principle? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Because no one is greater than anyone else. No one is able to lord it over anyone else. That's a lamb-like government principle. Remember when Yahshua said, "You shall not be like the Gentiles, you shall not be like the nations who lord it over one another, but the greatest among you shall be the servant of all." And the whole premise of the government in America has been that of service. Of course, that was changed over time. It has been corrupted to become those who work in the government aspire to self-serving, to serving themselves, to becoming rich. And so we see that by sin, those lamb-like principles have been corrupted over time, till we get to today, where we now, like I said, for the first time, have a president in the United States of America. Because I'm not going to say I have a president, because I'm not part of the United States of America or the USA. That's not my nation. I am a member of His holy nation. And if you've listened to this network at all very long, you've heard the Pledge of Allegiance. And it's my Pledge of Allegiance. And my Pledge of Allegiance is I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to His kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven, one holy nation. That's my nation. It's the nation of His people. It's the nation of those people who sit in heavenly places. That's their position. It doesn't mean they're all sitting down, but they're seated in a heavenly place in Christ, Yahshua, Jesus our Messiah. They follow the Lamb wheresoever He goes. And they live their lives with a one true desire, and that is to do only those things that please our Heavenly Father. And they love their neighbor as they love themselves. They do unto others as they would have them have it done to them. That's that principle that's embodied in the statement that all men are created equal. And really that's where it ends, because all men are created equal. It doesn't say all men are equal. It doesn't say all men will always be equal. It doesn't say all men will be made equal, because that's called socialism, communism, which is a farce anyway. The whole idea that you can cure all the ills of society by making everyone equal, which means you have to rob from one man. No, it says all men are created equal. And that goes to conception. It doesn't go anywhere else, because that's the point at which all men are created equal, is at conception. After that, and that means that it doesn't matter your color, you don't have a creed when you're created at conception. You have nothing. You know, all you have is whatever you've inherited from your parents genetically, and that may go a little further than many people think, but it means regardless of color. It really means regardless of so-called race, that all men are created equal. But obviously that's where the equality ends, because some people are born disabled. Some people have different aptitudes as they grow up. They're exposed to different ideas and so forth. So we see the equality ends there. But every man is equal to start, and every man will pursue whatever he pursues, but he has the same equality before God, and everyone has the same opportunity to take advantage of the grace of God and to enter into His kingdom. Of that much, I'm sure. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll discuss more of these things when we get back from the break.